Well, good evening. I don't know if I want to turn this on yet or not.
All right. Well, I'm on now. Well, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount for the last few weeks, and we've been talking about how Jesus is, he's not just a good preacher. We can't treat this like it's a good sermon. This is teachings that Jesus wants us to hear, and Jesus is not just a good preacher. He is the Son of God. He is Emmanuel. He is God in flesh, and we should respect these words for what they are. They are the words of God delivered to us by Jesus himself. And so when we hear these words, we should understand that this is what God wants us to do. This is how God wants us to be. This is the lesson we should hear, is that God wants us to behave this way, and God wants us to act this way. God wants us, as we're looking at tonight, to pray this way. When you think about this passage in Matthew chapter 6, in the passage on prayer, what is what is it referred to most of the time? The model prayer. You're right. It's usually referred to as the Lord's Prayer, right? That's not right. It's the model prayer. Jesus was asked in another passage in Luke, he's asked, how should we pray? And this is the prayer that he gives them. He gives them the model prayer. This is how you should pray. And then we simplify that, don't we? How do we simplify it? How many of you remember the acts of prayer? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And so that's how we should pray. We have to take Jesus' words and we have to simplify it so that we can understand it even more. But when you look at this prayer, I think we should see more details, and we have to see it for the whole. Now, the passage that we're looking at is in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 5. And so often, the first part of this is used to get out of praying. You know, I grew up with a young man who, at one point or another, he just decided he didn't want to pray anymore in public, so he used this passage of Scripture to say, when someone called on him, well, I shouldn't be praying out loud. Is that what Jesus is saying? No, he's not saying that at all. But what he is saying is, we should be authentic with our prayer. And if you want to fill in your blank in your bulletin, it's simple. Prayer. You to God. And that's as simple as I can make it, because that's what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation between you and God. It is you being real with God. And we're going to look at that in just a second. It is you being authentic with God. Being open and honest. I love reading the book of Job, because I think through the book of Job, we see Job's prayer in so many ways, his authentic, his realness in the situation that he's going through. Did Job deserve what he was going through? Well, does anyone deserve that? Well, we could have another conversation another time with that. But we know behind the scenes why it was happening. And Job was pouring out himself day and night in prayer through the struggles that he was going through. He was being real. He was being authentic. I ask you tonight a simple question. And you don't have to answer this out loud, so don't think for just a moment. Just think for a moment to yourself. Do you pray for the same things you pray in private that you pray for in public? In other words, are you real in your public prayer? You know, we should be willing and open to be sincere from our heart. Even in a public situation, be real with your prayer. And let's look at our passage. And when you pray, verse 5, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward in full. What was their reward? What were they seeking? They were seeking attention. They weren't seeking God as their audience. They were seeking the people around that was gathering to see the Pharisees and the hypocrites, to see them put on a show. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want us to put on a show. He wants us to be real, not just in our prayer life, but in our relationship with Him. You know, it's amazing to think about when you're married. When you're married, you learn different habits of your spouse. And when something's wrong, the other spouse usually can perceive it, can't you? When you're having a bad day, I remember hearing a story of a preacher who he decided to start doing this trend that when he had a bad day, he would come in, he would put on a red hat. And that was his way of telling his family and telling his wife, I need to be alone, I need to decompress, I need to unravel. But then on a good day, he would be wearing a white hat, just a simple, you know, white cap that just said, I'm okay, everything's good. You know, you can approach me, you can talk to me, whatever. But the idea was he needed to be able to warn her ahead of time. Don't mess with me today. Leave me alone. You know, you perceive different things about your significant others when you get to know them. When you get to know God, you see different qualities of Him too. The more you have grown in your relationship with God, the more you have probably learned about His attributes. And you probably have perceived new attributes in your life that you didn't know about when you were a kid, right? You probably think about who He is as an individual, as the creator of the universe, and who He is in your life. And God wants us to be authentic with Him. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You see, what Jesus is saying is this, and I think it's very simple. When you're praying, you only have one audience member. It is you and God. No one else. Don't pray to put on a show. Don't pray to get attention. You know, there was a challenge a few months ago that I remember hearing on the radio that people were doing, and I really didn't understand it. They would go to a restaurant, and it was like a youth group thing, and they were encouraging the youth group to pray out loud, to pray in the restaurant, and to see how many people could pray with them. And there was like, it was like a scavenger hunt thing, and they were going to get the points that they needed for the scavenger. I really didn't appreciate that, because that's putting prayer as a show. You know, prayer should never be a show. Prayer is intimacy between you and God, and it should be treated like an intimate moment that you get to spend with God, who wants to hear everything you're going through. Not just some of the things. He already knows what you're going through. He wants you to be authentic with Him, be real with Him, be open with Him. We learn from the book of Job, God can handle it, can't He? I mean, at any given time, those things that Job said, he could have said, all right, Job, I'm warning you, I'm done. But instead, he waited and waited. And then finally, he comes to Job. And you know, when you read that first part of that book, or that first part of God's response, and he says, who is this that darkens my counsel? Stand up and gird yourself like a man. I'm thinking, God, you're being mean. But I'm actually, after I've read it over and over the years, I've come to realize, no, God's not being mean. God is trying to take Job out of the situation. the misery that he was in, instead trying to encourage him to step up a little bit and to look at what God, what I have done for you in your life. Look what I have done for this creation. Look at who I am. Do you look at God in your prayer? Do you truly see God in your prayer? Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is intimacy between you and God. Now, I know we treat that passage of Scripture that when Jesus says, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. Jesus is not talking about prayer. He's talking about gatherings. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about conversing with one another and sharing with one another. I used to teach the youth group that I was put in charge of, hey, don't pray. I encourage the young people, the boys and the girls, don't pray together. You know, one boy and one girl should not pray together, because you connect intimate. There's an intimacy there in your prayer. You know, I used to say, unless you're going to marry them, don't pray with them, because you're going to grow too close in that relationship. And it's so true. When you pray with someone, you're being intimate with them, because you should be open to God. And if you're not being open, if you're hiding something in your prayer, then you're not being sincere to God. But God wants us to be open and honest. That's why Jesus is saying right here in this passage, he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. You don't have to ask him. He already knows. But he wants you to be open with him and honest and true and sincere. So then we get to verse 9. And Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. So Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He's telling us here, this is how to pray. He wants us to remember who God is in our life. He is our Father. God knows who he is, but he wants us to know that we understand and appreciate him. I love to hear my daughter tell me, say, Daddy, you know, Daddy, even though sometimes it wears me out because she likes to say Daddy quite a bit. But it feels good when your children call out to you your that title. I know my wife from time to time says, Mommy needs a break. My mommy title needs a break, because she likes to, you know, Ziza likes to say, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And then, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. It's a constant. But it feels good when your children say, call you by your title. God knows who he is. He wants us to appreciate him for who he is in our lives. He wants us to understand fully that he is our Father. He wants us to be his son and daughters, his children, his creation, that are one fearfully and wonderfully made. He wants us to know that he is our Father, and he wants us to treat him like that. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name, because it's his name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to understand our priority is not this world. Our priority is heaven. Our priority, our heart should be set on heaven. Do not seek the treasures of this world, but seek that where moths and rust can destroy, but seek your treasure in heaven. That should be our priority. And I know it gets easier as we get closer, doesn't it? You know, when you're a kid, you live for today. You live for the moments of life that we enjoy. But the older we get, the more real heaven becomes, and we're more excited about the idea of spending eternity. But God wants us to understand that our priority is heavenly, is a heavenly priority. Our goal is to be looking forward to the day to be in His presence. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. God provides our every need. He supplies the things we need most. He doesn't let us go hungry. He won't let us go cold. And we can depend on Him to supply our need. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is a simple old saying that we used to say, practice what you preach. If you want to be forgiven, you got to be willing to forgive. You can't forgive those who are made in God's image, those who we are, you're the family of God. If you can't find forgiveness in your heart to show others, why do we expect God to forgive us? God is forgiving. But if you have resentment in your heart, if you have evil in your heart, and you're not letting it go, He can't forgive you. You have to let things go. You have to let God's grace shine through you. Because God, who is all-knowing, God, who knows your heart, knows everything in your mind, He knows who you are. He wants to forgive you. But so often, we hold on to things. We don't let forgiveness abound. Let it go so that God can forgive you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Does that part of the prayer, does that confuse you a little bit? I mean, lead us not into temptation. Would God lead us into temptation? No. But Jesus is teaching us a very valuable lesson. That is this: the world is filled with all sorts of temptations. There is temptations all around. But if you keep your eyes on God, and you keep your eyes on your relationship with Christ, and you keep your focus purely on Him, He will lead you away from those temptations. When I was a kid, we had a week of camp at North Florida Christian Service Camp called M&M. It was Miracle and Majesty. And yes, there was a lot of M&Ms that week. It was pretty good. I didn't mind. But during the week, we had a little event where it was like a carnival. They set up a carnival between the Dottie Shaw all the way to the mess hall. And it was like different little events that you had to cash in these little tickets for. And you played this game. It was fun. But it was a lesson. The lesson was focus. Keep your focus. Because, yes, you could play these little cheesy games, and you could win those, remember those little Japanese handcuffs or whatever they're called, where you put your finger and you get your finger stuck, and how many of you got your finger stuck and couldn't get it out, and you had to get somebody, you know, you had to push it in, you know. It was just little cheesy prizes. But if you kept your tickets all the way to the end, you got a big treat. It was an opportunity to have ice cream and a banana split, and it was pretty cool. But you had to avoid all the temptations that were there. The temptations to, it only costs one ticket. It doesn't cost that much. You can keep some of your tickets. You don't have to give all of them away. You get all the way to the end. Where's your tickets? I have all these prizes. Well, you don't get any ice cream, though. That was devastating for some kids. I was enjoying the prizes, personally. Of course, the sad part was most of the prizes were things you couldn't have at camp. So you get the prizes, and then they just take them back from you anyway. And by the end of the week, you forgot, I'm supposed to have my prizes. Cheesy. But that's the way it worked out. You see, there is temptations all around us. As Christians, we are confronted with all kinds of ways in which we are tempted. But if we keep our focus and keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who is the one who leads us through the minefields of temptation, He will deliver us. He will get us through this. But our eyes need to be on Him, not on the world around us. And the thing with temptation is we try to fight temptation on our own. Can you do that? No. You might get through it for a little while, but temptation is this rotten little thing that it just plants itself inside of you. And before that idle moment, the Amish have a saying, idle hands are the devil's playground. And it's so true. And so that idle moment in which you let temptation just seep into your mind, and before you know it, you give in. And that's why we have to surrender ourselves to Christ's leading and to God's direction in our life. But deliver us from the evil one. It is not through our power that we can resist the devil. Michael, in the book of Jude, we see this weird passage that I still, even as a person who has read the book of Jude several times, there's this weird passage where it talks about Michael, the archangel, did not even try to resist the devil by his own power, but instead said, what? In Jesus' name, when they were fighting over Moses' body. See, Jesus has the power to resist the devil. We have to lean on Jesus' power and the strength that is available to us in Christ Jesus. You can't win this war that is raging on your own. You have to trust. You have to rely on the strength that is available to you in Christ Jesus. Because He has the authority to resist. Not you and I. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Does it feel repetition a little bit? Jesus is saying, hey, resentment, all that stuff is getting in the way of your prayers. If you don't forgive others, your prayer life is in shambles. God wants us to forgive. God wants us to not just preach forgiveness. He wants us to practice forgiveness and to live a life that is constantly allowing God's grace to be seen and to be known. We have an obligation to forgive. Because it messes, if we don't forgive and forget, it messes up your intimacy with God. God can't share your mind with resentment and hostility and ugliness and just anger towards others. He needs your complete and undivided attention. In order for that to happen, you have to follow Jesus' teaching with this. Verse 14 again. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Please understand the need to forgive, because your prayers matter to God. Prayer is a funny thing. To me, it's funny because so often we make it a formula. You know, there's formulas to this, formula to that. God doesn't want our formulas. God wants our hearts. God doesn't want our routines. He wants our hearts. He wants us. He wants us to be real with Him, authentic, not routine, but real. In order for that to be, you have to be willing to be intimate with Him, not just in your private time, but even in your public time. Not to put on a show, mind you. Don't think for a moment it's about putting on a show, but it's about being real with God, who knows you already, so that through our openness and our realness before God, others can grow in their relationship too. I love the passage of Scripture that Paul writes in one of the letters in Corinth, in Corinthians, when he talks about some of the things you go through is not for your good, but it's for the sake of others, so that they can see through your struggles how to persevere. You know, you and I, there's an old poem from years ago. I can't remember who wrote it, but the first name is Amy something. And one of the stanzas in the poem says, "You are the Bible that some people read. They see the Word of God in you. They see the works of Christ in you. Are they seeing it? Or are they missing it?" The world needs to see Jesus. And where they're going to see Jesus is through those who confess to be followers of Christ Jesus, who have confessed to be the servants of Him who is Lord and Savior of their life. When we stop just preaching Jesus, but start practicing the example He set for us. Live for Christ. Let His example be the model for your life. May His prayer be the model for you to live through. Let us pray.